We're going to talk a short time this morning about Paul. Now, we've heard many different lessons on Paul. Paul had such an interesting life, and there's always some piece of his life that we can all relate to. You know, well, the thing about Paul was, whatever it was that he believed, he was all in. You know, early in his life, when he was operated as a Jew, and we know that he persecuted different Christians, that was something at the time that he thought was right. And he was all in on that. He did whatever he thought he could do, he would do it to advance that cause. And he found out later in his life that that wasn't necessarily the way he was to operate or the things that he should do in his life. And he made that 180 degree change to follow Christ and be one of his leaders. He was all in no matter what. And I suppose, you know, we look at his conversion. I mean, when they came to him and Ananias was told to go to him. And we think that was pretty severe that he was stricken blind and that he walked around in the streets for so long. But you know, it's a person like that, it might take a little more to convince them. And as we look at that and we see that it took that to change Paul's life, but once he had changed, he was all in. He turned his life to Christ, and he was all in on that. And we should be much the same way. As we think about Paul's life and whatever it is in his life that we relate to, there's so many different things to relate to. We need to be much the same. We've given our lives to Christ, and we should be just like Paul. We should be all in on that. What we want to concentrate this morning is on the end of Paul's life. And I think he made some really profound statements there at the end of his life, and so much that can be encouraging to us as he lay there on his deathbed. In 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8, it says, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all of them also that love his appearing. That statement there should mean a lot to all of us. Paul in that time, the man that we knew that he had so much wrong in his life and the things that he did were so repulsive to us. The man that even discussed the shortfalls that he had and the role that sin played in his life that he fought with on a daily basis. He laid on his deathbed and he had surety about his state with God. He had surety that he had fought a good fight, that he had been loyal to Christ, that he had done the things that he felt were expected of him. He had done those things, and he had that kind of confidence. You know, we look at times and we hear other people talk, and we've all had those times when we maybe doubt our standing with God. We maybe doubt that we could ever be good enough to do the things that he would expect of us. We have doubts about all of these different things. And I'm sure Paul had those times in his life when he talked of those struggles that he had. But at this point in his life, he had confidence in his salvation. He knew he'd finished his course. He knew that he wouldn't play a continued role in this life. He knew that it wasn't in God's plan or Christ's plan that he should live on past that. He wasn't to be resurrected. He wasn't the Savior of the world. And he accepted that role. But he also said that he'd kept the faith. In all that had happened to him, in all that he did for Christ, he kept the faith. And then he goes on in the next verse to talk about something I don't think we talk about near enough, that there was a crown for him. I don't think we talk about heaven near enough. You know, we state that this is our ultimate goal, to make it to heaven, to live a life suitable to God so that we can receive that reward. But too many times we don't think about that goal. We don't think about what that means. We just know we have the checklist that we have to check off. I didn't do these things. I did these things. I avoided these things. I didn't have these thoughts. But we don't think about where that gets us. We don't think about what that means in our final days. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12 it says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. You know, when it talks about these things, it says keeping that faith. It goes on to say why. Why do we keep that faith? So that we're pleasing to God. And ultimately, in the end, we receive that reward. Paul was focused on that reward. He didn't just do things to do them. He did them to be pleasing to God so that he could have that reward. You know, we read these verses and sometimes we think, is there any fight left in us? Is there anything left of us at the end of the day? When we deal with the things that we deal with, we have to go to and fro and get this task done and this task done, and we got to deal with the finances and we got to deal with this sick family member. And we come to the end of the day, do we have any fight left in us? It can become difficult when we have so many things going to stop and pause and think about our role that we play and our service to God. It's a fight of faith because things around us tell us it's foolishness. So many things now tell us it's foolishness. Are you going to look to the media and have them tell you, you know, you need to spend a little time on your service to God? No. They have such low expectations. You know, if you do happen to do one of the things that they disagree with, then there's always a reason for it. They don't have expectations of us. We can only have those expectations. We see the foolishness around us, such as evolution, the human race that promotes selfish desire, popular culture that markets anything but a fight for God. Anything. We're exposed to so many negative forces against us in our service to God every day. So much we don't even realize it at times. We see it on TV. We see it on billboards. We see it in newspapers. We see it on the internet. We hear it on the radio. We deal with people every day that make subtle remarks. And having that around us every day can have an effect. As we deal with all of these things, and we look back at this passage, it says, lay hold on eternal life. That's the goal that we want. That's what we should be concentrating on. Don't forget the goal you're trying to receive. And don't forget that we're serving God when we try to achieve that goal. In 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You think Paul didn't constantly think of the spiritual fight he was involved in to live a Christian life? It was surrounded by him. It surrounded him. He consumed himself with those things. It talks about a war not after carnal things, but against anything that stands between us and God. Anything. That includes anything that would deter us from our service. That's what Paul dealt with. Paul experienced this fight firsthand. It was a fight within himself. If we can recall in Romans 7, we have a very long passage there where it talked about his struggle with sin and the things that were with him. And he said it was within him. It was a fight within him. That's not a fight you ever get out of. It goes with you constantly. There in Romans 7 and verse 23, it says, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. It's a war within himself, and it's a war each and every one of us fight. We can relate to him in that way, can't we? When we come to the end and we're on our deathbeds, will we say the same thing, that we kept that faith, even though we had a war within our members? You know, I think Paul did an honest self-assessment and recognized his weaknesses. And each one of us could do the same. He knew those times would come, and he dreaded those times when the carnal would rise against him. We face that very thing, do we not? When those temptations or those trials and tribulations come in our lives and try to weaken us, where do we go for that comfort? What do we turn to stay on the course? Think of the struggle Paul's describing, a war within himself and a war that he can't escape, a constant battle that will not end until we depart from this earth. It's something we deal with every day. And if we don't recognize that, then we can't stand against it. We have to choose to fight against those things. If we don't make the choice to fight against those things, then all of these other outside influences and negativity toward living the Christian life will eventually affect us. You know, if we don't do a regular self-assessment and decide within ourselves that we're going to change the thoughts that we have or the things that we say or the things that we do, we're not doing it right. That's what is expected of us. You know, we come here on Sundays and we talk about, you know, we're here to get ready, prepare for the week or whatever the case is. You know, sometimes we don't know. Are we here to recover from the past week or are we here to prepare for the next? That's the situation we're in. Those things have an effect on us. And we should be evaluating where we are. You know, this is the good fight that Paul was describing in 2 Timothy. At this point in Paul's life, that fight was finally about to be over. And in his final hours, he wasn't thinking about the rat race. He wasn't thinking about his stature in society. He wasn't thinking about any of those things. He was thinking about his standing with God. And he made an evaluation there. And he said, God, I fought this fight and I feel comfortable with where I am because of the promises that were made to him. Do we believe those promises? Do we believe that the fight that we fought will be rewarded in the end? That Christ's blood will cover us from the things that we've done, from the mistakes that we've made? Do we have that kind of confidence? We should. We should have that sort of confidence. We should live our lives in a way that when we make mistakes, we admit those things. We repent of them. And we gain that forgiveness that he's promised us. I suspect we'll be like Paul in the end. Those things won't matter. It won't matter how much money we had, what our stature was in society. None of those things will matter. It will be our standing with God that we're concerned with. You know, the course we set ourselves on should lead us to that goal of reaching heaven. We got to take time to consider that course and how we'll stay on it. This course will determine what our goal actually is as we walk toward it. People may often look at you when you place yourself on that course and think, you don't have a care in the world. You know, we see people like that. They live their Christian life. They do their best to do what's right. And we think, you know, they have it all together. They don't have a care in the world. But we know that's not true for anyone. Everybody has their struggles. And everyone in those lives has some struggle one thing or another. But the difference often is the expectation that we have of ourselves. Like we said, society has no expectations of us. We can fulfill that one every day. God has expectations of us. He expects us to follow Him. But what expectations do we have of ourselves? Do we have that expectation? Those expectations will prevent us from compromising our overall goal. So what expectations do we have? In Psalms 119, verses 105 through 108, it says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the free will offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. That word should guide us in this life, and it tells us that path to be on sets the expectations of where we should be. That's where the expectation should come from. We should mold our lives to meet that. When we become Christians, we put on a new man, as it says in Ephesians 4 and verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's the change that we should make. To live toward what He would expect of us. And as the new man, we should have new expectations in our lives. And do that regular evaluation of where we stand. You know, young children are often corrected over and over for the same things. And it's much the same with us. And we think about that struggle and we may get discouraged at times and say, you know, I keep going against this and I keep making the same mistakes. You know, it's not until we quit trying to prevent that in our lives that we lose that battle. He has that expectation that we will continue to fight against that. You know, we'll never come to a point in our lives where we say, okay, I'm perfect now. That will never happen. There was only one man that was perfect. And He doesn't expect perfection from us. He's taking care of that. What He expects is that we fight. We fight against these things that He would have us not to do. We fight to do the things that He would want us to do. We fight for those things. You know, when children get older and begin to avoid certain situations or do what's right, you know, many times it's because what's been instilled in them. And many times the successful parents are the ones that don't teach them to do it because I'm looking. They teach them to do what's right because it's right. That's the ones that are successful, that can convey that to their children, because you can't be there all the time. You know, when we look at our lives and we get away from the church, we get out in society and we get out in our jobs or wherever the case is, nobody's looking. We can do whatever we want. God's given us free will. We can do whatever we want, but we have to live with those things. And we know when we're not serving God, we're not doing the things that He would expect of us, it should hit home with us. And we should notice that. And it should have an effect on us to know that we haven't reached the expectation that He would have of us. And concentrate to make those changes. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 23 says, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and that the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless into the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, we read that and too many times we think, you know, you can't actually pray without ceasing. You know, you can't be on bended knee all day long. And I'd say that's probably true. We have different expectations. We have different responsibilities that we have to fulfill. But we see those people that are constantly have God on their minds, that constantly drive everything back to their service to God. And we respect that. We look up to it. Why can't we strive to have our lives like that? You know, I like talking to some people because you'll talk about us one situation or another and they'll automatically relate that back to something that, a passage from the Bible or an idea from the Bible. And you know, you think, why can't I do that? Why can't I relate those things? Why can't I have those things related back to different scriptures or different ideas? It's a matter of us getting into His Word and knowing what the expectations and the ideas that He would have us to do. And we can do that very thing. You know, many times I think we have more of that in us than we even realize. Most of us came up in a home that was at least recognized God. And you know, those things that we were taught were based on biblical principles. And we know we don't do certain things because of whatever the case was that was taught to us from the Bible. We have those things in us. We may not be able to tell what scripture comes from, what book, chapter, and verse. We have those things in us. And we need to constantly relate our everyday lives back to those things. So many times we dismiss this passage to say, well, you know, I have responsibilities. I've got things to do. You know, when you go through the day, you don't have to stop to do what the principle that's being taught here. If something good happens in your life, you can be thankful for it, thankful to God for that. You don't have to stop what you're doing to do that. When you find yourself struggling, you can ask God to help you in these things. You don't have to stop what you're doing for that. And we can constantly focus on God being a part of our lives. And that's what a part of what we're being taught here. He should be a part of our everyday lives. That we should think about Him. We should think about what He would have from us. We should think about what He would require of us in His service. Those are the things that we should concentrate on. And those are the things that will actually help us with the different trials that we have in this life. To know what He would have from us. In Mark 12 and verse 30, it says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." We have another example that God should ever be present with us. He should always be on our minds. With all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind. That pretty much includes everything, doesn't it? That's where we should be. Not that we sit around and we just constantly do nothing else, but it should be ingrained in us. It should be a part of us every day. Don't make a mistake of dismissing these teachings with the excuse that you can't just possibly spend all your time doing that. Because the way He means these things, we can do. We can accomplish those things. You know, if it weren't possible to do that, we'd look at corporations. You know, I've worked for companies and they'll have some new goal and they'll have some new standards that they want to go by. And they'll hang banners from the ceilings and they'll put up signs and they'll send out emails and they'll have meetings to focus people on these things. Is it because they want them to neglect everything else that they've got going in every day? No. They want that goal on their people's minds. They want their people to say, you know, I'm doing this right here and it doesn't really make sense because it doesn't help us accomplish the goals that we've made. They don't do that to tell people, neglect everything else, this is the only thing we care about. They do that to raise awareness. You know, this is October, and it's Breast Cancer Awareness Week, month. You know, I don't know who markets this stuff, but they do a great job. Everywhere you look in October, you see pink, don't you? Why is that? Because they want to raise awareness, don't they? They want people to see that pink and relate that back. That this is a vicious disease that we're fighting against. And we can do something about that. Whether it's giving money or volunteering or working towards something. They want you to think that. And they want you to focus on that. Is it because they think you're going to stop everything you're doing and everything you're going to be done in October is going to be focused on that one thing? No. They know you won't do that. Nobody can. They want you to think on that as a goal. It's just the same here. Sometimes we read these verses and think, oh, I can't do it all the time. I just dismiss it. No. What we need to do is ingrain that in our everyday lives. To know, to learn, and to think on those things. And when we do that, that will actually help us in those times when we feel like we struggle. You know, those groups that do those things to raise awareness do it because without awareness of an issue, measures are not taken to accomplish their goals. They have to make people aware of those things in order to accomplish their goal. And it's the same thing here. When we read these passages, we need to be aware of these things and know that it's not just something that He wants us to do. It's something that we can do that can help us in our everyday lives. Our awareness of God and our course to serve Him should always be with us if we're to continue on that course. Things in this life constantly pull us to have the focus elsewhere. There's always something in our everyday lives. When we go from one day to the next, there's something pulling us in this direction. There's something pulling us in that. But in everything we do, if we constantly remember God and the things that He teaches us will help us in our lives, we can ingrain that in our everyday lives and it will help us. Galatians 5 verses 16 and 17 tells us that temptations and distractions will come. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, as that ye cannot do the things that you would." Remember the struggle that Paul had with sin? The very same thing. So we read through these passages and we know that we have this struggle in our lives. We have to have something to combat against that. And it's knowing that God is with us. It's knowing what He would have from us. It's knowing that if we follow what He's doing, these things that we struggle with become that much easier. We have to get in the mindset that the Christian walk is where we want to be. And even when we stumble, we refocus and continue on. You know, most of us have probably been on a diet one time or another. Maybe some of us haven't. There's a few. But you know, when you were doing that, and whether it was a diet or something else that you were concentrating on or a goal that you had, was it that one day that you struggled? That one day that you didn't do what you were supposed to do? Probably not. It was the day after, and the day after, and the day after. That's when we failed. When we stopped fighting toward that goal. If you look at your Christian life, and we look at those around us, and we all know some that have fallen by the wayside. Was it one day that probably led them down that road? Probably not. As we look back, we see people that struggle with one thing or another, and one day led to another day, led to another day, led to another situation that they put themselves in. They didn't refocus. They didn't come back to the goal that they had to begin with. And that's where we'll fail. If we don't constantly try to stay on in that fight that He talked about and put ourselves in that walk that God expects us to be in. It won't most likely be one thing or another. It will be a series of things. You know, our lives have to be the same as when we have some goal that we're working toward. When we stumble, we get back on course. When we stumble, we recover from that and we continue on as He would have us to. We've also got to recognize our weaknesses in order to avoid things we know will cause us to stumble. What are your weaknesses? Your weaknesses are not my weaknesses. I can't stand up here and tell you, these are the four things that we need to concentrate on. And if we get these four things right, then we're good. Because my four are not your four. And your four are not mine. Only you know what your struggles are. But as we look at those things, what do we do to deal with those struggles? You know, you think back and you think along the lines of a diet. If I'm on a diet and I'm serious about that goal, I don't arrange to have coffee with somebody in an ice cream parlor, do I? I'm probably not going to do that. But you know, we look at things in our lives and we know what our struggles are. We've identified those things. We know that we have those problems. And we know when we face these certain situations that there's a chance that we're going to stumble. And we put ourselves and surround ourselves in those situations. Why do we do that? It's a lack of evaluating our lives, isn't it? It's a lack of being on that walk that He would have us on. It's something that's lacking in our lives. Because if we are totally focused on that goal, if we're all in that walk, we won't allow anything to deter us, will we? Think back of some of the goals that you've had in your life. Everybody here has had one goal or another. What was it like? How did you focus on that goal? How did you obtain that goal? You did everything possible to make that happen. And anything that didn't work toward you accomplishing that goal, you set it aside, didn't you? You decided what was important. We need to focus on the goal that He has for us. And if we do that, if we constantly avoid situations that we know cater to our weaknesses, we can avoid those things. We could fulfill that goal that we have. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, It says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. It tells us here there's no season for this. There isn't a time when we say, okay, I'm okay now. I don't have to worry about these things. Right now it's okay to do these other things. No, there's no season for it. Be instant in season. We have to focus on it constantly. You know what amazes me? When we think about different subjects and we study through them, so many verses completely align to address every facet of whatever the subject is that we're studying. It's the same here. We apply this to our lives because we know there are times when we can sort of backslide and maybe put things aside. You know, if you're like me, if you look back at your life, it's kind of a roller coaster. And you look at it at times, you think, you know, I was really strong at that time. How come I'm not there again? And you know, you either make changes and you get back on that course, or you don't, and you continue sliding. Be instant in season, out of season. There's no season when we're not supposed to do this. When we can let down and still accomplish our goals. Of course, we're on to serve God has no ending in this life. And that's what makes it hard for us too. You know, everything we're involved in this life has a beginning and an ending. We're born and we're youngsters. That ends. We become teenagers. We grow and that ends. We have our lives with our families and that ends. We have a career that begins and it ends. Everything that we do in this life has a beginning and ending. But this doesn't. This should go on with us throughout our lives. You know, some of us are luckier than others. Some of us had parents that kicked us in the back door from the time we were in diapers and instilled that in us. You know, there are others that weren't so lucky. Some others had to learn these things later in life, and they recognized that things were missing in their lives. And I have a lot of respect for that. People that recognize that something's not right in their life, and they choose to follow God with everything else around them that tells them it's foolishness. They identify that. Be instant in season and out of season. We have to constantly consider and evaluate our walk with God if we're to remain on that course. And finally, what is the one thing that helps us more than anything? It's exactly what Paul was talking about, our faith. We have to have faith that these things are what's best for us in this life. And we have to have faith that there's a reward for them to stay on that course. In 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3, it says, remembering without ceasing our work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Paul once again reminds us that it is a work of faith. He also points out it should be a labor of love, and we must have patience in our hope. Patience. You know, we fall short of a lot of things when it comes to patience. But this is one thing that we have to be patient about. Because we won't obtain that goal tomorrow or next week, maybe. We don't know. We're operating in faith, aren't we? It may be 5 years, it may be 10 years. Who knows how long it may be? We have to labor in faith and in patience. Acts 14 and verse 22 says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. We will be met with much tribulation. You know, I concentrate that all the time, and I think about that. He has told us that those times are going to come. He's told us we're going to face things. He's told us that, and we have to be patient in it. You know, I was talking to a guy one time, and he was involved in a youth-type organization, and he would go to those things, and they would talk to these kids, and a lot of times it was people from different denominations and this type of thing would show up for this, and it was supposed to be like an overall thing of just God in your life. But he said it quickly turned into these troubled youths being taught that if you become a Christian, you will never have another problem. Never have another problem. Anybody here ever been lucky enough to experience that? I don't think so. But you know, he said it was something he couldn't be involved in because he knew. God's never hid that from us. He's never said, you go with me, you'll never have another problem. That's not what he teaches. You know, that's a sad situation because possibly more trouble is being done by those types of teachings. You teach a troubled youth that if he gives his life to Christ, he'll never have another problem. And then guess what? He has another problem. And now what? He blames God. We have to understand. He's not hid it from us that we're going to have times in our lives where we're going to experience things that we don't want to deal with. Those times are coming. We'll face them. They'll be so much easier if we live our lives the way he asks us to. We'll avoid things that we shouldn't have to deal with. But those times will still come. But it makes them so much easier if we do it the way he would have us to. No one said it would be easy. And we can't expect an easy life. He's just given us a way to make it right in the end. As we think back at Paul's letter to Timothy, we can see that he made a very profound statement that fully describes the Christian life while on this earth. When we look at that, we should draw strength from it and know that Paul, in his time, yes, his life was not the perfect life. And we see his shortfalls, and that's hard to put his life out there and say, oh my goodness, look at what all these things he's done. In the end, he had confidence. He was chosen by God, and he had confidence that he was right with God in the end. Because it wasn't his past that was what was important. It was his present. And the things that he would do going forward were what was important. He speaks of keeping his faith, which we know from Romans 10 and 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's where our faith comes from his teachings. And it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You're teaching us that the things that he's given us will light our path, that will guide us in this world. And when we think, nobody understands what I'm going through, his word is what we should turn to. And in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 7, it says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. That fight will not only come from fighting the things of this world, but it will also come from a fight within ourselves. We know that. He's taught us that. That the struggle will be within. That we have that fleshly side to us. Every one of us does. And we have to find ways to stop that and battle against it. You know, sometimes knowing that others face the same challenges we face can give us strength. And hopefully we do. That's why we gather here. That's why we come together. And as we look and we meet each other and we know we face struggles and we should do that together. You know, my hope and prayer this morning is that the things we've studied can give us that strength. Hopefully through the next week, throughout our lives, we'll remember turning to him is where the answers are. And the expectations that he has of us will not only help us obtain that goal, but will help us in this current life.